was with us, and I think that he had a really important word to share with us, not only helping to mark out our ministry here at the Res over time, but he had some important words for us on the lead up to our retreat this coming at the end of this month. And so I thought it would be actually important today, given that we're only 2 weeks out, to spend a little bit of time talking about the retreat so that we're all on the same page together. Sound good? We've been announcing this for probably, I don't know, like 4 months, Sunday by Sunday by Sunday. But as we know, announcements can wash over us, and it can be challenging to take it all in and to get a sense of what it's all about, especially if we're doing things a little bit differently than we typically do, right? So let me see if my clicker works. It does work. This is brilliant. I've got a handy little clicker here. So our Res Fall Retreat, we're calling Listening to Jesus Together, as you probably know if you've been with us over the last number of months. And when is this happening? Let's all get clear together on this. When is this happening? This is happening at the end of this month, September 29th and 30th. September 29th and 30th. And maybe you're like this guy right now. Maybe you're like, yeah, I'm just waking up. Hold on just a minute. What did you just say? What did you just say? What was that calendar thing that you just had? Maybe you're like this guy. Well, September 29th and 30th, that's when we're doing this. Do we all have it now? Is it kind of locked in, shunked to the brain? We've got it locked in. September 29th and 30th, we're going to be gathering here. And what are we doing? What are we doing? We're gathering here at the Res, which is a little bit different than we typically do year by year. Usually what we're doing is going off to Fair Havens or another retreat center. Now, we don't typically have everyone going with us, but nonetheless, we do a retreat precisely at this time of the year, every year. We're gathering here this time, and we're going to be gathering to pray and to sing and to feast, and most importantly, I think, out of all of that, to discern together, especially discerning into this next season of life at the Res. So that's one thing that we're going to be doing. As part of all of that, we're going to have two listening prayer sessions. And this is going to be facilitated by Peter Roblin and our Res pastors here. Now, Peter came to join with us as a leadership team back in the spring and led us through a very similar kind of day. And it was such an important time that we had when he was with us that we thought, you know what? We need to extend this out to the entire church community. How do we do that? This is partly the result of it. This is going to include all ages, so kids, youth, and adults, and not just kids and youth in their own sort of program time, but actually we're going to have ways of being together. I'm going to be going with the kids. So I'm going to be with the kids on this day, and we're actually going to be doing some exercises together, figuring out what it means to listen to Jesus in prayer, age-appropriate activities, and so on. But we're going to be coming back into this space and sharing what we've been hearing with the adults before lunch. So that's partly what we're going to be doing together as kids. With our youth, are going to be right in here with adults, and the whole idea is to be joining together. So let me encourage you now, and I'll say a little bit more about this as we go along here, to be watching out for our youth and to be welcoming our youth in, because they need to find their voice in our community. We want to really learn to practice this together. There's going to be an overnight option for those who would like to camp out together. We've done this before at the Res. This predates my time, but I know that there are really good memories about camping out here. I think, what was the program? What was it? Yeah, it was for the Syrian refugees that we were kind of marking, and we all camped out here, and it was a memorable time. We're doing the same thing as an option this time around. So if that interests you, Jeremy Davies is heading all of that up. Why are we doing it like this? Right? Why are we doing it like this? Well, most importantly, we want to afford some time and space to discern God's direction for us into the next season, as I was saying. As you know, we've completed our missional experiment at St. Columba's. That was something that we worked really hard on in 3 years in a community close to us, and all kinds of important things were learned and good things came of that time. But we've completed that time. And there was a motion back in Vestry back in February to explore fresh possibilities, not just as leaders at the Res, but together as a community. So we want to figure out what it means actually to follow Jesus together into this next season. That's what this is all about. So our fall retreat seemed to be a natural time of the year when we in fact are all together. right? We didn't want to load up another full kind of retreat scenario on top of the retreat that we typically do. We figured that this was probably our best time to do it as well in September. We want to include as much of the community as possible. So we know, as I was saying, when we go away on retreat, we typically are only a remnant, sort of as the res going, because not everybody can go for one reason or another. Cost is part of that. But we wanted to come up with a scenario that would work for the vast majority of us as long as we're around. And again, we wanted to reduce the cost of this. This is free. This is an important kind of thing to take into account. This is free for us individually. It's obviously not free for us as a community, but we've got this budgeted. We've got this in the budget, so this should be really manageable for us to do. The whole weekend is free, and the idea here is that we're actually wanting to free people up from having to do stuff as well. So what can we expect in all of this? Here's how things are going to hang together. On the Saturday, with coffee on, we're gathering at 9 a.m. in the morning. Okay, we're going to gather at 9 o'clock in the morning, coffee on, and we're going to have our first session after that that Peter Robelin is going to lead us through, and I'm going to be off with the kids. Julie is going to be alongside of Peter up in this space. We're going to be gathered here working at this together. We're going to have a Subway feast for lunch. A big Subway. I think that these are like 6-foot long subs, all cut up into sections, and we're going to have this big Subway feast with options for vegan options and gluten-free options, this sort of thing as well. Notice how much time we have for lunch too. This is going to be a chance to leisure together. This is when we can actually kick back and relax and chat together. Then our second part of listening to Jesus, again, up here in the main space with Peter and Julie leading. I'm off with the kids, and then we gather back together after that. The overnight option comes on the heels of all that. For those who are staying for overnight, they'll gather together downstairs after our day is done, and we'll be putting dinner together, a very simple dinner and cookout together there. Sunday, 10 o'clock, 12, all-ages service that we're working really hard on that's going to be meaningful with some kinetic activity for our kids as well. But we've been sharing together all the way through Saturday. We're going to have a chance to reflect a lot of what happened on Saturday out into our time together. So we want all ages here for that time. And we're going to end the whole weekend with a big Greek feast, Greek food feast. And so Carol Robotham has been working on this, I know, with Debbie, and it's going to be fantastic to be gathering downstairs for our Greek feast to wrap it all up. A few other details to take note of, and after I finish with these details, I'm going to actually invite questions. So if you're sitting there and you've got questions, please, we're going to have time for that. Listening prayer, what do we mean by that? There are going to be a number of activities that Peter's going to lead us in, everything from individual journaling to clustered group conversation right within our pews, across our pews, to large group highlights that are going to be shared out here. So we're going to be actually doing a lot of this kind of work right within the pews together, with freedom to get up, to wander around. Coffee and tea will be on at the back as well. So it'll be a time that's mainly here with these sorts of activities, and also a sticky note kind of activity. We're going to have the cross set up right at the front here with two boards on either side, and we're going to be able to, out of the conversations that we have, put up highlights out of our conversations that are happening in clustered groups. And what we're going to see by the end of the day is highlights of our conversations all up on these boards. We'll be able to point to certain things that are getting stirred up, and we'll be able to notice certain patterns that are developing in our conversation as well. Music. Heidi's got a great day of music prepared, both days, with a music team that's going to be leading us. So we have that to look forward to as well. The overnight option, what other things to say about that? This is going to be dinner and breakfast, just for the overnight crowd. For those who are just sticking around for the retreat during the day on either side, no dinner for you guys, time to go home. And you might be saying to yourself, thank goodness I get to go home now. Because this is going to be work that we're going to be engaged in together throughout the day. Hopefully it's restful work, but work. And then camping out together. With food, again, the retreat itself, the retreat proper is going to be two lunches, one on Saturday, one on Sunday. And then the overnight is going to be dinner and breakfast. Our youth, I've already mentioned this, but I want to come back to it again. Our youth are going to be joining with us in this space. We're going to have a chance this Friday to talk together about how we can be preparing for this weekend. As adults, let me encourage you to be welcoming our youth into conversation in these cluster groups and so on. We all need to be hanging together because God is speaking to all of us. With encouragement to join in. With our kids, we're going to be listening together as well and sharing with the adults. When we come up at lunchtime and at the end of the day, we're actually going to have a chance to share back and forth with each other, actually. Kids sharing what they've been learning and what they've been hearing, and we're going to have a chance to do that with them as well. There you go. That's my blah, blah, blah piece. How about questions? Yes, Sarah.
Where's the fun?
What do you mean the fun? Yes.
The campfire.
Yes.
The games night.
Yes, and the overnight. The overnight time is where you want to spend all of your fun. You want to dive into the overnight option if that's what you are really wanting to do. Because Jeremy Davies, well, you know Jeremy Davies, he's not here right now, but he is going to be leading out that time, and campfire is going to be part of that. There's going to be a movie. There's going to be activities. I think that our youth are going to be hanging out and camping out in the youth room. It's going to be, well, do you like an off-the-hook time, Sarah? Because it's going to be off the hook. Michael. No drinks, no food needs to be brought to this at all. All the meals are catered. And the cleanup for, I think, most of the meals is handled as well. We're trying to free hands up. We're trying to entirely free people up just to simply come and to be part prayerfully of discerning together, but also worshiping together in community. Mm-hmm. Yes, there are snack times. Two breaks, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, to kind of break up that time. But with the kids, we actually have snack time and play time all built in, right? So yeah, you can be assured of that as well. Good questions. Alex, way at the back.
Yeah, is there a nursery as well?
Sorry?
There's kids. Is there a nursery as well?
I missed it right at the end there. So yes. There is going to be nursery, and that's all taken care of with qualified people who are coming to help us with that. Mm-hmm. From outside our community. Other questions? Okay. Yeah, Jennifer.
Did junior youth fall into youth or kids?
Sorry?
Junior youth
are with us. Yeah, that's right. Junior youth are with us. And some of our junior youth, I think, will feel really comfortable just sitting with parents or, you know, trusted adults, people that they know, and so on. For our older youth, let's be welcoming right into our clustered kind of groups. And again, the whole idea here is that this is a chance for us not just to listen and do these interesting kind of spiritual exercises. This is about helping to set direction together here at the Res. So it's actually important kind of work. The hope is that we're able to do that restfully and responsively, right, at the Lord's lead. Yeah?
So in the decision to try to listen to God together, what will be the process for how that continues?
Come and find out. So Peter has led us. So I don't want to give it all away. I don't want to totally give everything away. But the last time that Peter led us, it was wonderful because we were working out of a specific passage of Scripture, right, and working with that passage of Scripture in order to kind of identify some of our hopes and our fears together in community, right, to the point of actually landing on some things that we thought were hearing, not only for ourselves individually, for ourselves in our relationships, family relationships, friend relationships, and so on, but also for us as a church community. And so we're going to be able to identify a number of those things throughout the day. But what happened last time, it was quite remarkable. We were able to see some really interesting patterns developing by the end of the day, and there was growing confidence about that. And it was fun because it wasn't born of some sort of agenda at a leadership level. It was actually born of us hanging together and learning to listen over an entire day together. Mm-hmm.
Stacey, were you asking that or about what happens after the retreat?
Yeah, after.
Yeah, so after, yeah, that's right. So after there's a dedication then, I think, to come away from that. Leadership team, I think, is going to, Julie and I are going to start this. On Sunday, we're not planning a sermon for Sunday. What we're going to be doing is listening carefully throughout our day on the Saturday and beginning to identify and name some of the patterns that are already emerging for us, that other people, in fact, are already seeing. Our leadership team is also going to be involved in continuing to kind of do that, but there's going to be a whole process for all of us to keep engaged together on the way of whatever results after our retreat time. Yep, Jenny. Yes.
Christians all over the world, or what God wanted us to pray in the direction. And it was just so amazing to see that the Holy Spirit was leading us in similar directions, even though we were, you know, separated from each other.
That's interesting. Yeah, okay. That's really helpful, and thanks for saying that out loud too, Jenny. I think it's actually hard to anticipate all at the front end as to what's going to happen and the way that things will take shape. But that is our hope. Is we want to listen to the point of being able to notice the patterns that are developing for us out of it with confidence that God is leading us in it. It'll be, let's just say, we were all completely surprised the first time that we did this. And the hope for us, I think, is to be surprised yet again. Yeah. Last comment, Paul, for now. Yeah. Nice, good, thanks. We can talk more about this. I'll be at the back. Julie, of course, will be at the back afterwards if you've got more questions. That's great. How can we be preparing? How can we be? We've got 2 weeks, right? We've got these 2 weeks. How can we be preparing together? Let's turn to that passage of scripture that we had this morning. We won't spend long at this, but I think there are some important things that we have to learn. Page 931. I'm just going to read this passage. It's fairly short. And then we can have a little conversation. So we're verse 27 on page 931. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for you to gain the whole world, yet forfeit your own soul? Or what can you give in exchange for your soul? If any of you are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of you when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." Whew, lots going on there, right? This is a remarkable passage in the Gospel of Mark. It provides a bit of a watershed. Up to this point, none of the disciples have had any real voice to say within the narrative itself, right? Lots of events that are happening and lots of interaction between Jesus and the religious leaders, the Pharisees. But the disciples, though they're named and we find out that they're following Jesus and so on, don't have a voice. This is the very first time where any of the disciples have a voice, and it's Peter. I don't know about you, but I love Peter. Do you relate to Peter a little bit, just personally? Yeah, jumping in with both feet and then figuring out where you are. That's a little bit of what Peter's character is about, isn't it? And one of the cool things about Peter, I think, is that he is in earnest. He cares deeply about getting things right. Right? But he's also got strong assumptions and expectations in terms of what right looks like. Notice that? There's sort of like a part one and a part two to the episode that we have in our gospel reading for today, don't we? Part one is about Jesus with his question, who do you say, who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? And then the answer that comes from Peter. Then part two, Jesus doing a little bit of, he's helping his disciples to be aware of what's coming next, this road to Jerusalem that he's going to follow, suffering and death. And Peter's not having any of it. And he has a very different posture towards Jesus in part two. How would you describe the posture that Peter has in part one compared to the posture that he has in relation to Jesus in part two? What would you say? Part one, how is Jesus relating, or how is Peter relating to Jesus in that particular scenario?
Humbly,
I suppose. Okay? It's hard to tell exactly what the tone is and all the rest. But notice what he says. Peter says, you're the Messiah. Where in the world would he get that from?
Inspiration.
Okay, inspiration, partly. This is God, and we find this out in Matthew's same account. Jesus will say, actually, it's only the Father that's revealed this to you. Yes, so inspiration on the one hand, but what else?
Declaration.
Okay, declaration. It's like an open confession. Yep. Judith?
Hope.
Maybe it's true that you are the Messiah. Maybe that's part of what's going on here.
John the Baptist?
How so?
You would hear the preaching that the Messiah was coming and he was one that believed.
Okay, so here's the thing. He's been attentive and responsive to Jesus every step of the way. And even though the narrative of the gospel doesn't help us to know what was going on and how the disciples were processing things, clearly in this moment, one thing that we learn is that Peter and the rest of the disciples have been paying attention. They've been not only paying attention, but being responsive to Jesus to the point of actually following him, perhaps, as Judas suggests, not even fully convinced that Jesus is the Messiah. There's a bit of risk bringing that out in this particular moment. But whatever the case is, there's attentiveness, right? There's responsiveness that's implied in the way he's working with Jesus in that moment. This is born of following Jesus and watching him do what he does and listen to what he says. How about part two? What's the posture that Peter has in relation to Jesus there? Notice that he's no longer answering questions that Jesus has for him. What is he doing? Dimitri? He's trying to protect Jesus. Okay, so this does come from a kind of protectiveness for Jesus. No, this can't happen to you. You can't die and suffer and die. We love you. We're your friends. So it is probably on that level. Maybe this is coming from fear, too. He's afraid in this particular moment. Jesus is talking about his suffering and death. Remember, he's just identified Jesus as the Messiah. Who's the Messiah? He's a warrior king whom God will lead to victory. Right? God's special anointed and chosen. And this is what Peter has in mind. He's been paying attention in other ways, too, to the Old Testament. And also to the rabbis that would teach about who the Messiah was. And he had all these assumptions and expectations as to what the Messiah is all about. This coming king who's going to be there to set things right. And Jesus starts talking about his suffering and death. No, Jesus, that's not what being a Messiah is about. Notice how he's correcting. He's correcting Jesus too. And he's actually putting Jesus in his place. So there's some protectiveness that's happening here. I think that that's entirely true. But there's way more going on here than just that. He's actually shifted from being attentive and responsive to being reactive to the point of actually saying, no, Jesus, this is actually what things need to look like. And it's all coming from a place of assumptions that he's been carrying and expectations that he's been carrying. He is no longer listening. He's no longer listening when he's instructing like this. And notice that Peter feels that he's completely right. Hey, I got that one right. I'm going to get this one right too. It's interesting. It's possible to get it amazingly right. And this is what happens for Peter. While also, even in the next moment, to get it wildly wrong. As we shift to take the initiative ourselves, to shut our ears, to take the initiative, and to work hard off of the assumptions and expectations that we have, especially if we're afraid. This is the other thing about Peter and the disciples. They've left everything behind. And Jesus is talking about his suffering and death. Think about that for a second. They've left everything behind. They're all in. And you know how poker works. You're all in, right? You've got good reason to be all in. And the disciples feel that they do have good reason to be all in. How in the world could suffering and death be part of that equation? Right? It's pretty incredible. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems a little harsh that he refers to Peter as Satan, right? Almost like he's become a bit of a monster in this moment. Like in Matthew's account, it's really interesting. He'll go on to say, "You've become a stumbling block to me," which is really quite humorous in the context of the whole passage, because Jesus has just named, in Matthew 16, he's just named Peter as the rock. You're the rock, and on this rock I'm going to build my church. And in the next moment he's saying, you're a stumbling block to me. You, Peter, you, this rock, are now a stumbling block. And adds on to it in both accounts, this bit about, say, here's how I'm understanding that. I'm not sure that he's saying, you've turned into Satan or something like that. This is a strong pushback, there's no doubt. But I think what he's saying is, you're colluding in evil here, Peter, while thinking that you're right. You're colluding in this moment, thinking that you're right. You've got your concerns only on earthly things rather than heavenly concerns. There's more going on here than you can possibly imagine. There's more that's going on. I would love to take our questions, but we've got a whole service here, and I don't want us to go too long. So, responding to resisting. How to prepare in the next few weeks? There are a few things that I'd like to leave us with. Firstly, let's be turning our attention to Jesus, seeking to be open and responsive to him. In our gospel today, in prayer, in continued study, in conversation and community, let's be turning our attention to Jesus and learning these practices of attentiveness and responsiveness to him. We've got a good example of it here. In Mark's gospel, right? Again, the long fruition of being attentive and responsive. And what does that result in? Being able to see and to name things really well as the Father reveals things to us, right? Secondly, how about naming? Like, just pausing. It's hard to do in September, isn't it? But deliberately, intentionally pausing to name some of our hopes and fears. The assumptions and expectations that we have around things. Noticing that inside of ourselves rather than being like Peter and suddenly blindsided by it. Right? It might be helpful just to pause and to settle as we can over the next couple of weeks to name some of the hopes and fears that we do in fact have about our own individual lives, about family life, about work, about friendships, and about our community here at the Res too. This is a great way to be preparing. How about this though as well? Seeking to be patient in moments of confusion, frustration, fear, maybe anger as well, with trust. This is the hardest thing probably to do, isn't it? What's our typical inclination when we're feeling confused and frustrated? Afraid, and maybe angry. What are our tendencies?
Fight or flee.
Fight or flee. Withdraw entirely, to give up too easily and too quickly. That's one. Fine, I'm done. Who knows who we're talking to when we say that. Right, fine, I'm done then. Right, that's one. fighting and impulsively and in the moment. How dare you?
Discouragement,
and that's maybe part of the withdrawal piece, right? It's just, you know, feeling discouraged, not sort of defiantly so, but man, this, you know. What though if we were to just pause in those moments and realize that they're really natural times that we're going to go through? To be patient and to trust that it's not the end of the story, that we have not arrived to the end of the story. What if we were to develop practices like this for ourselves individually and in our relationships with others? And then also, and this is really important, making ready to follow Jesus by serving in love with others. We see Jesus pushing this out. If Peter thought he had a problem with Jesus initially concerning suffering, his suffering and death, what does Jesus turn around and say? This is another kind of humorous moment here. It's sobering, I'm sure, in the moment for Peter. But it's kind of humorous. Peter's got a big problem with Jesus in terms of his suffering and death. What does Jesus turn around and say to him? And the rest of the disciples? Yeah, come with me. Oh. Take up your cross. If you want to follow me, you're going to need to take up your cross. Think of Peter's face in that moment. Maybe we can take a little bit of that in too. Wow. Okay. Now, of course, what Jesus means here is not to give up our lives in some sort of masochistic way. No, this is about serving in love, giving up our lives in that sense, just in the way that Jesus does. That's what we're destined for, not only in our individual lives, but here's the thing, in our community life here at the Res. Getting ready to join in with other people in specific things that we can identify together as a community that we're going to devote ourselves to, right? With a sense of purpose and mission. That's the hope that results from all of this. Let's be anticipating that over the next couple of weeks, that this is where we're headed. And then finally, and I'll leave you with this, sharing in this with family and friends. Not keeping it to yourself, right? Working with your kids a little bit, spending some time with your kids, no matter how old they are, and learning to do some of this, and making much of this. Of course, this is all good stuff for life, generally speaking, isn't it? But all the more so when we're preparing to actually be in the same space together, listening to God, and expecting that He's got good things for us in our life together. Awesome. Can I pray for us to close our time as we look off next couple of weeks? Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We confess to you that you are too often an afterthought in our days. Too often we behave as if you are not alive, that you are not at work, that you are not present, that you are not walking with us, that you're not revealing yourself to us. Help us to stop. Help us to slow down in our days. Give us the freedom to be attentive and responsive to you at your lead. Help us to learn how to do that with each other. We're looking forward to this day, this couple of days that we have. We're really depending on you. See us through the next couple of weeks as we prepare. We'll be watching for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.